And I'd like for you all, if you can, to be back tonight for the second Father's Day message. So, ladies, you never got two hits in one day. So you can't blame me for trying to favor the fathers in any way, shape, or form. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb, glory to God, amen, for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound his Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, bless your precious and holy name. Lord, thank you we can be here this morning. Thank you for your goodness unto us. Lord, help us and instruct us and guide us. Help us to pay attention, Lord, to what you would have us to get this morning. Father, if there'd be one here that's never repented of their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, Father, deal with that one this morning, we do pray. Lord, may the saints be edified and helped. And, Father, we ask this all in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the greatest father in the Bible. The greatest father in the Bible. And this is not debatable. This is not debatable. Doesn't matter what you may think about it. I'm going to preach to you on the greatest father in the Bible. And you may think, well, whatever, Brother Austin, I think there's others in the Bible. Well, others don't matter. Well, that's a pretty straightforward statement. Just hang with me. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the greatest father in the Bible. Now, your Bible says here in Genesis 22, verse 1, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, brethren, your Bible says, if you go with me to the book of James, James chapter 1, and listen, I need you to pay attention this morning, because so many things are going to be so critical in what we look at, so you pay attention. If you have to stand up and stretch, you stand up and stretch. If you've got to fan yourself, you fan yourself. Or just whatever you've got to do, but you give me your attention this morning. James chapter 1, verse 13 says this, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You say, wait a minute, how can the Bible say God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, yet the Bible says God tempted Abraham? Well, brethren, look here. That's one of the ways you know your Bible is the Word of God. Because it's got so many things in it that look like they're contradictions. Brother, that's a blessing. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Dawson? That proves to you God wrote that book. Man would never wrote a book like that. If man was trying to write a book that he wanted to make it look authoritative, he would painstakingly have tried to make sure everything fit and nothing looked like a contradiction. That book is filled with things that look like they contradict, but they don't. And the Bible believer knows that because the Bible believer approaches the Bible believingly. When the Bible believer approaches a bunch of numbers that don't add up in Chronicles and Kings, he says, "Glory to God, Lord, I know there ain't no error here. I trust you, and a little digging will make the thing plain. And if it don't, I still trust you."
Amen. Right.
I've got a perfect book. What do you got?
Amen. Right.
No, really. I've got a perfect book. Now, what do you have? But listen, yet the Bible says, God tempted Abraham, yet God didn't tempt no man with evil. Brother Austin, what's going on here? God didn't tempt Abraham with evil. God didn't tempt Abraham to sin. God didn't tempt him to do some wicked and vile and nasty thing. Listen, if you'll go to your dictionary, one of the definitions of tempt is to try, to prove, to put to trial for proof. Thus, in the light of that definition, and comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see there's no contradiction here. God did tempt Abraham, but He tempted him in the sense of trying him, proving his faith and his love toward God. He didn't tempt him to do any evil. None whatsoever. So this doesn't reference the same thing. This is not the same kind of thing referred to in the book of James. In fact, go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. What an up-to-date Bible, man. What an up-to-date book. You don't believe your Bible's up to date? Man, pick up your newspaper. Mideast is still, man, where everything's rolling at. And man right here, Abraham. Man, Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. All that back then is part of the reason you're looking at what's going on today.
Right.
You want to stay up to date, read your Bible.
Right.
Hebrews 11, verse 17, look at this. By faith, Abraham, look at this, when he was what? Tried. There you go. There you go. That shows us that when the Bible said tempt in Genesis, it's referring to a trial, a proving of Abraham's love toward God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Now, so we see that there was no problem here. There's no contradiction here. God was going to prove Abraham's love toward God. The Bible says, Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Abraham was just right, Johnny on the spot, at God's beck and call. God calls, Abraham, here am I. Behold, here am I. Brethren, God doesn't have to yell and scream at you to get your attention. He is sovereign, He is almighty God, and you need to have an ear toward Him. I mean, come on, parents. Parents, did you realize that it degrades you when you got to go around, Johnny, just where you at? You better listen to me. Where are you at? That degrades you as a parent. That degrades you. It makes it look like you ain't got no control. Brethren, I know some of the youngest may be out in the woods and you got to holler for them. I understand that. But brethren, around, they ought to be attentive to your voice that they hear you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That ought to be on the spot. It degrades. And brother, I'm going to say, God is not going to have Himself degraded, brother. He's not. And He's almighty, and He's sovereign, and He's wonderful, and He's great. He's our God. He just called, and Abraham had an ear ready to hear when God called. Behold, he says, here I am. Look at verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. He's away, brother officer. Lord kind of made a mistake there, didn't he? What about Ishmael? See, the Bible's wrong. Abraham had another son, Ishmael. Brethren, what you recognize, what God recognizes are two different things. And what God calls something is many times irrelevant to what man may call it. God says, take thine only son, Isaac. Yes, yeah, but Ishmael was his son. Yet earlier on, God even acknowledges Ishmael as Abraham's son. But brethren, right now, God is saying to Abraham, thine only son. You see, brethren, Ishmael was a product of Abraham's own ideas, own schemes, and own works. And God's not recognizing him here. In fact, brother, look here. Oh, now, God blesses Ishmael because he is Abraham's son. The Lord told him that earlier. And he's made a great nation, but he's not the son of the promise. His seed is not the promised seed. It is not through Ishmael that Messiah comes. In fact, through Ishmael's line is one of the reasons we've got a lot of mess we've got going on today. Because Abraham took matters in his own hands. Let me tell you something, brother. Your sin has consequences down the line. It just does. All right, now, but God says, take thine only son. He said, well, I don't believe you really meant it that way. Okay, take your Bible. Go to Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, look again at verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17, the Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Whoa! Man, the book of Hebrews calls Isaac his only begotten son, which, by the way, makes Isaac a type of Christ. That makes Isaac a type of the Lord Jesus Christ here. But notice that, his only begotten son. But Abraham, you know, I mean, Ishmael came from his loins. But you know what? God recognizes here Isaac. Let me tell you something, friend. If you try to approach God your own way, your own schemes, your own ideas, He will not recognize it. You approach God through the blood of the Lamb of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone, nothing added, nothing taken away, and God will receive you. You try to climb up some other way, you go by the way of your own works and your own desires, and God will not recognize it. You'll perish and go to hell. Brethren, if you're saved and you try to serve God according to all the dictates of your own mind and your own intentions and what you want to do outside of that book and the revealed will of God, God will not recognize it. Well, God, I've done this, I've done this. Yeah, you did it. But I wasn't in it, it's all of you. Brethren, like we said this morning, it's not who commends themselves, but who God commends that matters. It's what God recognizes. All right, look here. The Lord, the Bible calls Isaac Abraham's only begotten son. Go back with me here to Genesis 22. Let me say something to you, brethren. God, what matters is not how we look at things, but how God looks at things. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than earth, so are God's ways higher than man's ways, and God's thoughts are higher thoughts? Listen, brethren, let me give you an example. I get to throw a little practical thing in here. Let me give you an example. How God calls something can be very different from how you and I call something. Case in point, if you get out of the beach right now, there are folks all over that beach that are naked according to God, but they're not naked according to man. If you go down there and you tell folks you're naked, that I am not. I got clothes on, man. I mean, underwear will cover more, but I'm not naked. I'm clothed. You may be in your idea, in your thoughts, but according to that book, with the way they are, they're showing nakedness. You understand what I'm saying, brethren? What man calls something can be very different from how God calls it. Like there's a perfect case in point. They don't consider themselves naked, but they are. And brethren, you may not consider something to be bad or wrong or this way or that, but what you need to be concerned with is how does God consider it? All right, now let's go back here to Genesis 22. Lord says to him, verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. God says, Abraham, you know that boy that you love? You take him. You love him. I know you love him. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and I want you to offer him to me for a burnt offering. Wow. And, you know, our Bible says, Abraham sat down and said, God, now that you talk to me about this. Now, come on, this is unreasonable. No, that's not what you find, is it? You don't find God, Abraham going to God and saying, Lord, this makes no sense. I can't understand this. You have to explain some things to me. None of it. But this makes no sense, does it? God giving you this child, and now God says, offer to me for a burnt offering. You don't see Abraham going, Lord, Lord, you've never required human sacrifice before. So I think this is against your nature. You know, none of that. None of that. Abraham doesn't try to figure out. He obeys. Brother, when you know something is right and you know it's of God, don't try to figure it out. Obey. If it's of right and it's of God, obey it. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. How about that? It says he rose up early in the morning. I think that's very instructive. What do you mean by the lost? Well, can you imagine? God just asked you to take your only son whom you love. Now, he doesn't put Ishmael away. God told him to take Ishmael and put Ishmael away. Ishmael was a product of Abraham's own works and designs. Isaac's only young and he's got now. God says, offer him up to me for an offering. And he rose up early in the morning to go do it. Not laying there. Maybe if I'll just lay here. Maybe the day will pass. Or maybe God will tell me he didn't really mean it. Or maybe. No, sir. He rose up early in the morning. Look what it says. Rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Abraham doesn't linger. He doesn't drag his feet. He doesn't debate with himself or try to reason things out. He just obeyed. Listen, brethren. Look what it says in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Well, now, you know, when you see that phrase third day, automatically in your mind, you ought to start thinking something. Resurrection. Resurrection. Now, you think when you hear third day, you ought to be going, resurrection, man. Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead on the third day. Your Bible says on the third day, Abraham saw the place afar off. I know, Brother Dawson, was kind of sad, wouldn't it? On the third day, he saw the place where his son's going to die. Oh, no. He saw the place where his son was going to rise from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
You mean future? Oh no. I mean he saw the place where God, if God lets him go through with this thing, God is going to immediately raise Isaac right back from the dead. And I'll prove it to you. And he knows that. This is a man that believes God, brethren. This is a man that trusts God and his word. Unreal, brethren. Unreal. What a man this man Abraham was. On the third, don't you see the typology there? On the third day, he saw the place of resurrection. Our Savior was raised again the third day. You see, if God has Abraham carry this through, he is going to immediately resurrect Isaac. You say, you can't. What are you talking about? I'll prove it to you. If, you see, brethren, God had told Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I'm going to multiply you, Abraham, through that boy. God don't go back on his word. You understand? God's not like us. God doesn't go back on his word. Abraham knows God has promised through that boy. I mean, at one time, Abraham hoped it would be Ishmael. Remember one time, Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Abraham, that's your doings, boy. That's your stuff. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Sarah's going to have a son. Isaac's going to be the called one. He's going to be the chosen seed. It's going to be through him. So Abraham's like, well, it's got to be, man. Isaac's going to be going. God's going to multiply me like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the through Isaac. And now God says, offering me for an offering. Which means killing him. Which means shedding his blood and burning him. You know what Abraham knows? God will bring him immediately right back. On the third day, he saw the place of resurrection. He said, I don't know, Brother Dawson. Well, let's continue on. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we go to verse number 5, go to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11. You see, brother, when God said, I'm going to multiply your seed through Isaac, then Abraham knows, well, if God lets me kill him, God will have to bring him right back. Well, brother, also, don't you think he meant someday in the resurrection? Oh, no, 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 no. He knew he was going to have children through Isaac. He was going to be multiplied so God would bring him right back. Hebrews 11, look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, look at verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So the book of Hebrews lays it out there for you. That Abraham knew that God promised me Isaac's the promised seed, he's the called one. If I offer him up and he dies here, God lets me kill him, he will raise him up from the dead.
Hallelujah.
There'll be immediate resurrection. That makes Isaac a wonderful, beautiful, perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But go back to Genesis 22, it gets even plainer. Go back to Genesis 22. Brother, don't tell you something you can bank on. You can bank on God and his word. I remember God, you can bank on God's word for good. And I want to tell you something. If you choose to rebel and go your own way, you can bank on the judgment of God that He pronounces against you.
Amen.
I mean, for good or bad, depending on you, but you can bank on the Word of God. Genesis 22, look at verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men. Now remember, remember what the Bible said? Said he took, in verse 3, said he took two of his young men with him. Alright? Look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. Look at this now. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He didn't say, I'll be back. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, what do you think? You think Abraham is sitting there going, I don't think God's going to make me do it. Are you kidding? He knew. If God asked me to do it, God's going to have me do it. But He'll bring him right back.
Amen.
And we'll walk down that mountain together back. Amen. Glory to God. That's good, brethren. It is. That's faith and trust in God and His word. But I bet you, though, I bet you the enemy was assaulting that man's mind.
Amen.
Can't you imagine it? How you know? How you know? Abraham, how do you know, man? I'm Abraham. Think, man. Just think, when that knife goes in, when you slit that boy's throat, when you drain his blood out, what if you've misunderstood God? What if it ain't true? It's too late then. Man, that man steady on, steady on, steady on. My God's true. Let me tell you something, brother. You can rest in God and His Word. Glory to God. There ain't nothing else much you can, but you can rest in the Word of God.
Amen.
You can build on it. You can rest on it. You can stand on it.
Amen.
And he goes, listen, he goes on up there and he knows. He said, we'll come back and worship with you. And brother, he's not meaning, I just don't think God will make me do it. No. I believe Abraham's attitude was, man, you can't figure God out. That ain't nothing just what God will call you to do. But I know He'll bring him back. Because God's Word's true. All right, let's go on. Look what happened. Verse number 6. Bible says this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Brethren, there's another thing. It makes Isaac a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Abraham took that wood and laid it on that boy. That's a picture of a couple things. Number one, it's a picture of the cross. And how the Lord Jesus Christ took that wooden cross upon Himself and bore that thing. I want to tell you something Brother Leek told me one time. And I tell you something, I sure can't argue the point with him. He said, Brother, said, you know how everybody always points out that Jesus started bearing the cross and then he fell under it and Simon did. He said, Brother Dawson, you know what I believe? He said, I believe Simon started out and couldn't handle it and the Lord had to take it the rest of the way. And I'll be, if you go to every gospel account, you can't argue the point. Nowhere does it really say. And brother, I think he's got a good point. If you go and read it, it does look like that what happened was, because the Lord ended up, so the Lord's one, if you look at him, I'll tell you what, I believe you're possibly right. Simon started out with that thing. But our Savior carried it on. You see, I believe Jesus. Simon couldn't probably do it. Our Lord. But look here, I want to tell you this. The Lord did what nobody could do. He did for us what you couldn't do for yourself. Brother, look here. But that wood is a picture of the cross. Don't tell what else it pictures. Take your Bible. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Let me show what else that thing, that wood pictures. But you know something, brother? Let me point something out to you. If you'll read your Bible, you can make just as good a case that Simon started out carrying it and Jesus finished as the other way around. You make either case. But you know what? People are so fixed in their mind with something a certain way that they won't look at their Bible to say that.
Right.
But look here. Believe your Bible rather than all the pictures you've seen in your life.
Yeah. Right.
You better believe your Bible than all the religious pictures you've ever seen.
Right.
Believe that book. Isaiah 53, look at verse number 4. Surely he hath... Now look here. Abraham laid that wood on him. That boy had to bear that wood. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. You know why I don't have to carry grief with me? Because somebody bore it all for me. I don't have to bear it. He's done bore my load for me if I'll just accept that. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Man, if you're saved, what are you carrying sorrow around for? Your Savior's done bore all that for you. I was to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Man, if you're here this morning and you're lost, why are you carrying that burden of guilt and sin around? Christ has uncarried it for you. He wants to take it off of you. You're carrying a needless weight. And carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. and the Lord hath laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. Abraham took that wood. Abraham took that wood and put it on Isaac. You know what the Father allowed to be put on Christ? My sins and your sins. Our iniquity was laid on Christ. He bore it for us. Bless His holy name. Bless the name of the Son and bless the name of the Father. He bore it for us. Brother, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, He didn't just bear our sins. The Bible says He became sin for us.
Amen.
Brother, listen. If you're saved, the power of sin is defeated in your life. You need to get a hold of that.
Amen.
He broke the power of sin, brother. He became sin for us. See, He didn't just bear our sins. He became sin personified. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Hallelujah.
Are you saved? Then you're eternally secure for sure, friend. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
The devil wants to rob you of victory. He wants to tell you every day, you're so rotten, you're so dirty, you're so nasty, you're so undone. You need to look Him in the eye and say, yeah, in my flesh I am, but in Christ I am complete. I am perfect. I am the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
Man, that's your grounds of victory.
Amen.
And don't you ever let it go. Man, if you listen to lies of the devil, people look at you how bad you are. You're the sorriest husband. You're the sorriest wife. You're the sorriest father. Just stand your feet and say, yep. Yep, you called it about right. That's what I am in my flesh. But you ought to know, and you do know what I am in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You take that one down. What matters is what I am in Christ.
Amen.
That's your grounds of victory, brother. See, too often the saints get to hanging their head like, I'm so bad and I'm so... Well, amen. God deals with that stuff. But brethren, your victory, your grounds of going on is what you have in Christ.
Amen.
Man, but I don't feel very righteous. What does that book say? You trusted Christ as your Savior, you are made the righteousness of God in Him. Glory to God, I am complete.
Amen.
I am complete in Him.
Amen.
I have sinless perfection in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, outside of Him, oh, I'm a nasty boy. I'm a rough character, partner. But outside, but in Him, I'm complete.
Amen.
Why, Brother Dawes, that means you, oh, no, man, as I walk with God, He deals with me as a father with a child. He corrects me and He chastens me. But I'm talking about when the devil throws things at you, you can stand your ground and stand on what you have in Christ. Martin Luther, man, said the devil comes to him and said, Luther, you're a great sinner. He said, I know it. I know it. He started accusing me of things. He said, I'd write them all down. Write them all down. He said at the bottom of it, put paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen,
amen, brethren.
Hallelujah.
That's good ground. Yeah, that's taking the enemy on his ground. That's going face to face. I know it. Sure it is. But at the bottom of that thing, you put paid for by the blood of Christ. And the devils and the demons of hell say, oh, it ain't true. Not you. It's an illusion. You say, it is true. It's fact. That book says it. And I rest on it.
Amen.
You're all right.
Amen.
I'm serious, brethren. You better know your ground. You better stand it. The devil will tear you to pieces. What you feel and don't feel, what does that book say? You rest in that finished salvation in Christ. So look here. So He laid that on Him like our iniquities were laid on Christ. Go back to Genesis 22 a minute. Genesis 22. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Let me tell you something, brethren. I see that wood as our sins and our iniquities. I see that knife as the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because, brother, look here. Before you, that sacrifice, that blood had to be shed before you burn it. All right? And Isaac, you know what? His blood's going to have to be shed. His daddy's going to take that knife and, no doubt, slit that throat. That's how you did them animals. And let that blood flow out. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ poured out His precious blood for our sins. And then He took fire too, because it was a burnt offering. I want to tell you something, brethren. He went to hell for us. Acts chapter 2 says that the Lord Jesus Christ, His soul was not left in hell. The Lord Jesus went to hell for you and I.
Amen.
Brethren, that's what that book says. Don't you hand me no Hades, Sheol mess. That book says H-E-double-L, hell. And too many scholars who want to get away from the authority of that book say, well, Hades or Sheol or the grave, your Bible says hell.
Amen.
And you know what hell is. Somebody's got a problem with that, brethren. What it meant was the grave. If it had meant the grave, the Holy Ghost would have said grave. You understand me? The Holy Ghost ain't got no problem getting down what He wants down. If it had been grave, the Holy Ghost would have said grave. Said hell.
Amen.
You know where I deserve to go? Hell. You know where my Savior went for me? Hell. But He couldn't hold it. He got
Amen.
Up. He got up. He took my place. He went, well, but also he went over to paradise. I know. He went over to paradise too. I know that. But he went to hell too, the Bible says. His soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh didn't see corruption. And he got up that third day. And I got hope now. I got hope. Man, I can approach the grave. I can approach death. And though every demon in hell can gather around me and assault my mind, I can say, I'm going to get up. I'm done there in him physically, spiritually. I'm there in Christ, and I'm going to get up physically one day too, because he did. You can go and you can find where they put Muhammad's bones and Buddha on. You ain't going to find a bone one of Jesus Christ. You ain't going to find one. He got up. Didn't hold him down. Hell couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't keep him. Now listen. So it's a bit at night. He shed blood, the fire pitcher of hell. Look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. I want to tell you that Abraham was quick to hear God and quick to hear his son. And I want to tell you that a man, I believe it's right with God, will be right with his family. He'll love them. He'll listen to them. Oh, dads, I know we got our problems, huh? But you love your youngins, don't you? God gives you that. God gives you that. He was quick to hear God, and his son said, my father, here am I, my son. And look what he said. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham done his job, buddy. He had explained salvation to that boy. And Isaac was like, Daddy, here's the wood, and Daddy, here's the fire, but Daddy, where's the lamb? Isaac understood you approach God by blood sacrifice. Brethren, your youngins might not do anything with it, but you better at least tell them. It's their choice to make. But at least tell them if they're going to come to God, they've got to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. They've got to come through that blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their choice what they do with it. But tell them. Tell them. He said, well, where's the lamb, Daddy? Where's it at? Verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I'm going to tell you, Abraham spoke prophetically here. Oh, I know, brother. I know what happens here in a little bit. No. No, friend. No, you don't. Abraham is speaking prophetically whether he knows it or not. We'll get to that in a minute. Just suffice it to say right now that he said, Isaac, don't worry. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Okay, Daddy. They go on together. Now let's go on here. Look at verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And laid the wood in order. Picture it in your mind, will you? They come to that place, and Isaac's no doubt still wondering, where in the world? Daddy said, hey, listen, can you imagine what was probably going through little Isaac's mind? He had worshipped with his daddy before, and they'd always had a lamb, you know. But they're going, and daddy this time his daddy says, God's going to provide one. You know what Isaac's not thinking? Wow, I wonder how God will do it. Man, I wonder how God will do it. I wonder if he'll take him out of the... I wonder how he'll do it. And so Abraham, the Bible says, he builds an altar. And Isaac's probably going, man, maybe he'll come out of the sky. Oh, man, maybe he'll come up. I wonder where he'll come from. Because daddy's not quite done. But, and Abraham puts the wood in there. Man, I wonder what's going to come. Can you imagine that fella? When daddy comes over and ties him up. Well, I want to tell you something that just gets me excited. It ain't nothing but God and His mercy and grace and the love of a daddy. The God's love of a daddy working. They'll let that boy accept that and say, I trust my daddy and I trust my God. I trust my daddy's God. Goodness. Can you imagine? I mean, he was wondering, no doubt, where's that lamb going to come from? Now his daddy's tying him up. And see, this rotted, devil-possessed world will tell you stuff like, oh, that Isaac, he's going to hate Abraham. He's going to hate Abraham's God. He's going to say, what kind of God is this that would put a little child through that? But it don't happen, buddy. Let me tell you something. It's a little boy that comes to love and revere that God of Abraham and comes to bring up Jacob the right way and start that right lineage there. Let me tell you something. This world will tell you that if you keep trying to do right by God, you'll screw them kids up. You'll mess their minds up. You'll get them to work. Listen, you just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep doing right. And listen, they've got their own choice to make. If they make a choice to go the other way, well, that's all right. At least you've done what you can do. And you know what? God may let you get the grandkids. Do you know that? God may let you get the grandkids. Sure, amen. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Look here. So he takes verse number 9. He says, now Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Laid him on the altar upon the wood. What love. What love. Hey, brother. Isaac's the type of Christ, you see. He let it be done. He let it be done. Man, he didn't resist it. Daddy, what are you doing? Dad, I think you're crazy. I don't want to do with your God. No, sir. He let it happen. Hey, and his daddy didn't let him know until they got up there. Let himself be bound and be laid on there. You say, yeah, but Brother Doss, Abraham probably knows anything will happen. Oh, no. Oh, no. But I want to tell you this just real quick. Well, notice the obedience of the Son. Notice the obedience of the Son. Go to Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, I want you to look real quick at verse number 8. Philippians, notice the obedience of Isaac. Notice the obedience of the Son. Look at Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to leave heaven and come here and do that. But he did. Why did he become obedient unto the death of the cross? Why did he become obedient? Because of me and you. Because he loved you and he loved me. And to make a way out for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell and we could be reconciled to God for you. Let me tell you something. You and me don't ever have no excuse for getting down and discouraged and saying, nobody likes me, everybody's getting me. There's one that's for you and he's the only one that matters. I don't care if everybody in the world is against you. There's one that's for you and he proved it at Calvary. Calvary was the exclamation point of God's love toward you. All right, listen, take your Bible very quickly. Go to Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Glory to God, to the Son. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Isaac was obedient to his father. And that's a type of the Lord Jesus who was obedient to the Father and said, not my will, but thine be done. Brother, what a blessing. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ would be willing to do that. To suffer that separation and say, Father, there's some of the way, but Father, not my will, but thine be done. Just as Isaac was yielded and obedient, so would the Lord Jesus. Now, go back to Genesis 22. And I want you to see this. Genesis 22. And look at verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Man, he did it. He took his... Now listen, hold on a minute. May I say that it's going to be real easy for you and me to sit in and analyze and critique this when you and me ain't the one to be in the spot. And brethren, Abraham knows if God lets him carry this through, God is going to bring that boy back. But can you imagine doing it? Can you imagine taking yours? Come on, man. When that one right there got... I was the one who took him to get one of his first shots. And I about cried, man. That nurse put that needle in his thigh. And I knew what was coming. You know, old ding-dong guy didn't know what was coming. And, you know, he just sitting there playing with me, you know, playing with his shirt and everything, you know. And I'm like, man, in just a second. And Ben just playing everything there. And that needle, you know, don't hit it first. And you're like, you know, that delayed reaction, mouth opens, no sound comes out for about 5 seconds, and then, man, it broke my heart. It broke my heart. But you know, you love them. You want to do what you feel like is the right thing. You love them. You know the times, you've had them stitched, you've had them go to the doctor, causes them pain, but you love them. And you know, even though it's hurting them, Some things are best for him. But brethren, can you imagine now? Can you imagine taking that knife? I want you to think about that tomorrow when you're at work or wherever you're at and the devil, you're fighting spiritual battles. Can you imagine what I bet the devil's telling Abraham? What if he don't? What if he don't? What if he don't raise him up? What if he don't raise him up? Hey man, when that knife goes in, it's done! It's done! Hey man, when Abraham, when you plunge it in, when you slit his throat, you can't stop, man. You can't stitch him up. What if he don't? What if it ain't true? What if you misjudge God? What if you're not really in the will of God? What if you're wrong? Man, he takes that knife. He's going to do it, man. You know why? Because God has to stop him. The way you know he was going to carry that thing through is God had to stop him. Notice before he said Abraham. This time he says, Abraham, Abraham. This man's carrying this thing through out of his love toward God and faith in God's Word. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here am I, here am I. Oh, brethren, oh, to have a walk like that. To where if God says, offer your son, here I am. Stop and don't do it, here am I. I mean, you know, just at God's beck and call. But you understand, brethren, no doubt. You try to do right by God, that enemy's going to be on you saying, oh, it might not be true. Very sure he better be. Brethren, when you know it's right, when you know it lines up with the book, you carry on and you trust God. Brethren, don't try to worry about all the what's, ifs, ands, and buts. That's where the devil messes you up. Hey, if you make this step, your family's going to suffer. Hey, if you do this, if you by faith and trust God, your family's going to... Hey, don't worry about the what ifs. You say, my God is my God and I trust Him and His Word's true. If you listen to that kind of stuff, brethren, He'll have you all tied in knots. So listen. And verse 12, and He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a lamb. No, ain't what it says, is it? It says a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. That's real interesting, you see. You see, a while ago I said, when Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb, I said he spoke prophetically. He did. Because, brethren, God didn't provide a lamb. God provided a substitute for Isaac. But He provided a ram. The ram, the lamb, didn't get provided until a couple thousand years later on. But I want to tell you, He has been provided now. See, a substitute got provided for Isaac. But it wasn't a lamb. It was a ram caught by the horns. Which is another picture of Christ, because it was caught by the horns in a thicket, like briars and thorns. I know one who wore a crown of thorns on his head. And by being caught in his thorns, he didn't get that ram didn't get scratched and torn up because a sacrifice couldn't have any blemish. And our Savior was without spot and blemish. No sin in Him. So a wonderful type of Christ was provided. A substitute was provided. But it wasn't a lamb. What a lamb. But Abraham spoke, oh, so prophetically, whether he knew it or not. God provided a substitute. And by the way, you know something? What Isaac knew in theory became real that day. You see, Isaac knew in theory, okay, to come to God and worship, you've got to have, you know, you got to have a blood sacrifice. There's got to be a lamb provided. There's got to be a lamb, a blood sacrifice. But that day, it all became so real because a substitute literally took Isaac's place. And did you know, you may have knew about salvation, but oh, thank God for that day it became real. I believe Isaac went up that mountain knowing theory. Oh, but I believe he came down knowing it in fact and in truth. I believe he knew it coming down in truth. He knew it effectually in his life now. You may have knew about salvation in theory. Oh, thank God for the day you came down and knew it in reality and it applied to you personally. Because that day, the lamb got personally, a substitute rather got personally supplied for Isaac. Oh, I believe it was. I believe them two come down. And what a time they had. Can't you imagine? Can't you imagine, Isaac? I get it now. I get it. Oh, I see it. Oh, man, I knew about it. But it's real now. It's real. My place got took. My place got took. Somebody took in my place. Somebody stood in my stead. Wasn't it good when you realize He died for me? He died for me. He took my place. Jesus, You died for me. And I believe that. And man, salvation became real to you. It wasn't just theory. It became actual, living, a real entity in your life. Glory to God. What a day that was. And I believe it was that kind of day for Isaac. It all became so very real to him. You see, listen. It says, in the stead of his son. Salvation became personal to Isaac this day. Let me ask you something. Has it ever become personal for you? Do you just know of salvation in theory? Do you understand all the ins and the outs of it, the theory of it? But has it ever become real? I mean, have you ever accepted that a substitute was birthed? I mean, there you are. He was laying there, brethren. He was bound. That knife was coming on down. And over there is something provided for him. Now, honey, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever realized I'm the one that deserves hell? I'm the one that's lost. I'm the one separated from God. He took my place. He died for me. And have you ever made that personal connection? If you haven't, I hope you will today. Man, let this be your Mount Moriah here today. I'm so serious. Now listen, I want to say this to you. A ram, a substitute was provided at this point, but the lamb wasn't. Isaac asked a question. He said, "Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" Man, they could ask that thing all through the New Testament, Old Testament. Where's the lamb? Ooh, go to John 1. Go to John 1. I mean, Isaac asked a question. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? He said, "Dad, where's the lamb for burnt offering?" John 1, verse 29. Ha! Good stuff. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I don't mean just taking away the sin of Israel. I don't mean taking away the sin of the tribe of Judah. I don't mean just keeping that thing down to where a little geographical spot there. I mean the whole world. Glory to God, that took me in. That meant this fella who was going to be born in North Carolina about 2,000 years later up there at the foot of the mountains. That fella right there, for him, glory to God, that meant for him he died. The Lamb of God to take away that one's sin and yours, the whole world. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Glory. Not just for Israel. That'd have been glorious. It had been. But listen, you and me. Man, you wouldn't even born. I wasn't born. Wouldn't even thought about. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking down in eternity, knew of you and I, and for you and me, died for us to take away our sin. Listen, Isaac said, "Where's the Lamb?" John said, "Behold." Behold, the Lamb of God. I want to tell you this. John the Baptist found him. Glory to God. There's about, that's about 39 years ago. No, 29 years ago, I found him. I found him. John found him. I found him. Have you found him? I mean, listen, he said, "Where's the Lamb?" John said, "Behold." I can say, "I know." Glory to God, I know. I know, and He lives in me now. He lives in me. We sing about it. I know where He's at. I found Him. Have you? Don't hand me this stuff. Well, He's not lost. I know that. But listen, brethren, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." I'm glad I found Him. Amen. Listen, have you? Have you? Have you? I hope you have. If you're not, you can today. You can today. But brethren, listen up. I really got to get to the main point of my message right now. I said, "But what are you talking about?" Well, the title of my message, and I don't usually title things. The title of my message was, "The Greatest Father in the Bible." Well, brother, amen. You made your point, brother. You made your point. Amen. Glory to God. I see it. I see Abraham as the greatest father in the Bible. No. Abraham, brethren, is the greatest type of the greatest father in the Bible. He's the greatest type. You see, without argument, I'm going to tell you who the greatest father in the Bible is. It's without debate. You can't argue the point with me. The greatest father in the Bible is God the Father. Now, it's Father's Day, brethren. You better realize that. You ought to thank Him. Because if you ain't had a good father here, you got one there if you're saved. He's the great. Abraham's the greatest type of the greatest father. The greatest father is God the Father. You say the greatest father? Yeah. So, brother, also I tell you, Abraham, pretty good daddy. Yeah, but God stopped that father. Nobody stopped God the Father from offering His Son. Don't you see? Abraham was going to, but he got stopped. You tell me who was there to stop God the Father when His Son was on the cross? Who stayed the Father's hand and said, "No, no"? Nobody.
It was carried through. You understand me? You ought to love Him. You ought to love Him. And though our love lacks so much, you ought to at least tell Him, Lord, I love You. I want to love You more. Because You're so good. And I love You because You first loved me. Brother, listen. Abraham offered his son out of love to God. But I'm going to tell you this morning that God the Father offered His son out of love to you. Are you with me? Abraham was tempted to prove his love to God. Brethren, God the Father offered His son for you and for I. And dear friend, there's quite a difference. You see, God is holy, pure, and without spot. God's holy and He's just so perfect and wonderful. I can understand Abraham proving love to God. But God proving love to me? I'm nasty, I'm vile, I'm unclean, I've been outside of Jesus Christ. Brethren. I just wonder, brethren, sometimes at how messed up I am. And brethren, deserving of hell. Not a leg to stand on. And that God gave His Son for this one right here. God gave His Son for you. I can understand Abraham's love being proved to God. But God's love to us? Oh, brethren. Brethren, Father's Day. I submit to you, brethren, the greatest father in the Bible is God the Father. And God gave His only begotten Son, brethren, that we might be adopted by God. Take your Bible. A few passages in closing. Go to Romans 8. Adopted. I'm not taking a thing in the world away from all our children that are natural born. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad for mine that are born from me and Sarah. And I'm glad to be my mom and daddy's. But you know something? I heard somebody one time say something pretty good. Said there's a little boy come in one time and he didn't know he was adopted. You know how youngs at school are, just mean snakes. And the youngs at school found out he's adopted. Man, they started on it. Do you know you're adopted? That ain't your mom and daddy. Well, you know he's about ready to fight. Yes, it is. Oh, you better shut your mouth. You're about ready to fight, you know, saying it ain't your mom and daddy. So he come home off wiping the tears. I'll tell you, Mama, they told me that I was adopted. It ain't true, is it, Mama? Kind of looks down, you know. Mama, it ain't true, is it? Mama? Son, we didn't want to have to tell you. We was going to tell you as you got older. We didn't think it was time, but we hated you had to find out like this. Well, the boy was torn to pieces. Just get torn to pieces. You ain't my real mom and daddy. And I don't know where my real mom and daddy's at. Who knows who they are? And they didn't love me evidently. And how can y'all really love me? And tore up. She called and asked the daddy to come home for work. Said he tore all to pieces. Come home for work without talking to him. Said the daddy was saved. And on the way home, he said, oh, God, give me some wisdom. God, give me some wisdom. And he said, son. He said, daddy, nobody loved me and cared for me. No, no. He said, son, yes, you're adopted. But you know, son, he said, them boys and girls at school, why, their mom and daddies can't help who they got. They just, whatever they stuck with. He said, oh, son, we picked you out.
Amen.
We prayed over you, and we went and we picked you out, and how special you are to us. Well, don't you know, that made a big old difference to that little fellow there. Adoption became real special all of a sudden. Take your Bible. Look here, Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, glory to God, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you know something? Did you know they said under Roman law, an adopted child, you could about, listen, almost had more rights than a natural-born child.
Right.
You could about as quick get rid of a natural-born one as you could an adopted one. Man, once you adopted one, woo, you just wouldn't get out of that thing. The spirit of adoption, brethren, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 real quick, and I'm just about done. Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse number 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, thank God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
Brethren, I don't know about you, but I know what it is. The Bible says God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, I know what that's about. Do you? I hope you do. I do. I know what it's like to come to a point in my life to now realize God is through Christ. God is now my Father, and I can call Him Father and know what it means. And He can, and hear, as it were, His Spirit refer to me as Son.
Amen.
I'm His, and He's mine. Now, do you know of that? If you don't, I pray you would, for this morning's out. Brethren, I pray you wouldn't play no silly games. Chuck your religion. Chuck your fooling around, man. Have you got a real bona fide living relationship with God? If all you've got is a profession 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years ago, but not a living walk with God, something's wrong. You either ain't saved or you are suffering, like I said, like Sunday school, spiritual retardation. Now, come on. Be honest. Something's wrong. And you need to get that thing rectified. You need... Listen. If I didn't have a living walk with God now, I'd about question my profession of the past. A profession that don't have something to go along with it now, something's wrong. You ought to have a living walk. Hey, listen. You know why? I called my daddy up this morning. And I said, Happy Father's Day, Daddy! And talked to him a little bit. You know why I did? Because about 40 years ago, I was born of a combination of that man's seed and my mama's seed. And you know what? I was born of him and I got a relationship with him today. Because of something that happened 40 years ago, I got a relationship with him today. Now look here. If you ain't talked to God in 20, 30, 40 years, you got to wonder, or 15 or 5, if you really got a relationship back when. Something took place then to let me have something real now. Brethren, look here. You better make sure you got more than an empty profession. You better make sure you got a living relationship. Hey, before I close up, let me define the word adopt for you, according to the dictionary. It means to take a stranger into one's family as a son and heir. To take one who is not a child and treat him as one, giving him title to the privileges and rights of a child. That's good. I'm glad to be adopted, huh? I was a stranger. I mean, you know, when you adopt somebody, usually they're not like you. You know what I'm saying? They're not like you. Well, brother, look here. You know what it'd be about like? You go down there and you work. Don't give me no guff on what I'm going to say, brother. Just get real, all right? It'd be about like you going down there in the inner city of Charleston, some black folk, and adopting one of them. Now, come on, man. Don't look like y'all. Huh? And they don't, you know what I'm saying? It'd be about like that. And saying, welcome in. I love him as an heir. You say, when our brother Doss, brethren, how do you think you stack up against heaven? Heaven is a place of clean and pure and wondering beauty. We are stinking, nasty, dirty, vile. And God said, but I'm willing to adopt you through my son. I'm willing to accept you if you'll come and let my son, through his blood, make you clean. To take a stranger into one's family as a son and heir, to take one who is not a child and treat him as one, giving him a title to the privilege and right of an heir. Let me tell you something. God just don't bring you into his family and set you aside as well. No. Privilege. Joint heirs, huh? Joint heirs with Christ. What a God. What a Savior. What a Father. Brethren, I just want to say to you in closing, the greatest Father in the Bible is God the Father. And I want to say in closing that I thank God for my Heavenly Father. I thank God for my older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who I'm joint heir with. What a Father that we have. I am so gloriously happy and joyous to be adopted in His family. But let me ask you something. Are you? Why not let Him adopt you today? Why not let Him make you His today. Why not let salvation go from theory or an empty profession into a reality today? Why not let this be your Mount Moriah and come off that mountaintop, not just knowing that Jesus died for you in theory, but accepting it in reality and accepting the price He made on your behalf. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, I sure wished I could have got out of the way more and have brought more glory unto You, because, Lord, You certainly deserve it. But, Lord, I pray You'll bless my feeble attempts and bless Your Word, of course. And, Lord, help us to just appreciate the wonder of Your love and the great Father that You are this morning. And, oh, Father, if there be one here that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, dear God, deal with that one. Get a hold of their heart, Lord. Break them down. Convict them. Lord, I pray they'd surrender today. And Lord, allow themselves to be adopted into Your family through the merits of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have Your way. And have Your will this morning according to the need of every heart. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Won't you every head bowed and every eye closed just a minute. She's going to play. I don't know quite where you're at with the Lord this morning. I wouldn't know that. But God does. Are you saved? Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Have you been born of the Spirit of God? God made a new creature out of you. Have you been adopted in the family? Can you cry, Abba, Father? If so, boy, y'all, thank you. Just right there where you at, y'all are thanking. Y'all say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God, for being a father. You know, maybe you didn't have a daddy coming up. Or maybe you didn't have a relationship with your daddy. Oh, boy, y'all thank God for the daddy you got now. You ought to thank God for your heavenly Father. Because I'm telling you what, He loves you and He cares for you. There ain't nothing like it. But if not, please, this morning, all you got is an empty profession. Man, get something real. Do you have a living, vibrant walk with God now? If you don't, why don't you? Did you get saved? If you did, what's going on? What's going on? Jesus Christ yielded for you.
Your God looked at you and said, "Where are you yielded?"
The Lord Jesus yielded up and was letting go for you. But you're not willing to be yielded and surrender to God for Christ's sake. Man, come on. Things right with you and the Lord? Be honest. Be honest. Be honest this morning. Would you play through one more line? Amen. Look here. Before we close, brethren, I got something else to say, and I want you to listen to me. Now, brethren, it's too late in the game. It's too far along, as I said before, to be playing. And I want you to hear me out. I want everybody in this room, I want you to hear me out.
If you say that you're saved this morning, now you hear me. If you say you're saved, but you're not living for God like you ought to, there's only one reason. You are consumed with yourself, and that's the only person you want to live for. Now you listen to me this morning. You mentioned, brother, the other night, somebody we both know, and now the mess they're in. I'm so tired of hearing our brothers and sisters falling by the wayside. I'm so tired of it. It tears my heart to pieces. It doesn't have to be that way. But I want to tell you something, brethren. Anybody listening to this tape, if you're out of the race, or if you're not running the race like you ought to, there's only one reason. You don't want to. Now you listen to me. There is no excuse. Do you understand me? Do you understand there's no excuse for not reading your Bible? No excuse for not praying? No excuse for not coming to church? None. 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 Not one. Not one. Never. You just don't want to. You are consumed with yourself. Well, brother, also, no. I didn't have good discipleship. Blow it out your ear. Hush that mess. Nobody discipled me good. You listen to me. If you come to this church and you're going to say that, I'll never buy it. You know why I say that? Listen, are you here every service taking notes? My time's your time. You willing to ask me questions after church? That man for years will sit down with a notebook and ask me questions. He'll save them up for a month or two and sit down with me and ask questions. Nobody discipled me. Huh, shut up. You don't want it. I want to help you. Eternity is approaching and you're going to stand before God. Nobody discipled me. Did you come to church? Did you take notes? Hey, well, I just believe I couldn't get help. Why didn't you go to church someplace else? You ever notice that everybody gets out with God and says they're not serving God, they never, and because the church has made them out, they never go back to church nowhere else? Do you understand? Guess what? It's excuse. Well, somebody made me mad. Anybody listen to this tape? Whoever. Somebody made me mad. Then, why don't you go to church somewhere else? Why aren't you still serving God? What, God ain't made you mad. Or, preacher offended me. Somebody offended me. Then why does that make you quit reading your Bible, quit praying, quit going to church somewhere? Listen, you better get honest and admit, I do what I want to do. And that's all there's to it. And hey, if you're happy with that, great. But can you stand before God? Are you comfortable standing before God and saying, God, I did what I want, because He knows it. He'll tell you if you don't tell Him. There's no excuse. Well, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not coming to church because of no excuse. If I can't help you, get where you can get help. But that's the problem. So often people don't. Hey, brother, I ain't crazy. If I can't help you, I ain't gonna bother me none. I'll try to pray and do better, but go where you can get help. But if I offend you or somebody offends you, why does that make you stop reading your Bible? What's God done to you? Why does it make you stop praying? What's God done to you? You better shut your excuses. Well, bad things have happened in my life. I've seen two people sitting a couple of pews back right here who have gone through one of the worst 6 months anybody could ever have to go through. And they never quit. And some of you know, some of you don't. That's her, you know, but I'm going to tell you something. I've seen that sister has lost weight. Never quit. He's been to where he's about died inside. Never quit. Didn't quit. Drag along the pull along, but not quit. I love you this morning, but your excuse is baseless. Just be honest. I do what I want to do. If you'll be honest, you might make some progress. Be honest, suck your excuses, and get in there with God. God's never done you wrong. God has never, people may do you wrong, God's never done you wrong. We're too far in the game, folks. You better be serious. Father, we love you. Dear God, I don't know what, Lord. I don't know what else. Lord, oh God, help us. Lord, help us to not make excuses. And Father, help us to do right. Father, for anyone this morning here, Lord, that's not where they ought to be with you. Lord, help them to be honest and just admit, I'm just doing what I want to do. And Lord, may they get honest and get right. Lord, if I can't help them here, Lord, I pray they get where they get help. Lord, help us to be honest. Lord, help us to not be another casualty by the wayside. Father, we thank you. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.